Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Baywatch podcast. Welcome, fans. Thank you for listening. As ever, our main aim on this podcast is to watch Baywatch one episode at a time. And as ever, I've got my podcasting pal, Rich, with me. Hi, Rich.
Hello. I don't know why I'm waving. I always do. I always wave, and none of you can see me. It's wasted. It's a wasted wave.
I can see you, so it's not wasted.
I can see you too. It's very
friendly.
That's
true. That is true, yeah. That's true. You guys can see me.
Returning guest, we have Kate again. Yay. Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you ever so much for having me back. I've been really looking
forward to it. Yeah, because it's a good episode, right?
Yeah, it is a good episode.
Yeah, is it?
Well, bear in mind, I've only watched two episodes of Baywatch in the last 30 years. This one and the last one that I was with you for. So, I'm still new. I'm still high on the excitement and how, you know, what's going on with all of the characters.
You've picked good ones.
Ones that actually have something to do with what's in the title.
Yes. Hold that thought, because I'll read the blurb and then we can get straight into it. This episode is called Armored Car. And there's a clue in the title of what it's about. And here's the bio, it says. Jill teams up with Trevor to win a beach volleyball tournament, but all she really wants to do is beat her ex's team, no matter what. Eddie and Shawnee try to rescue a child trapped in a crashed armoured car, and that's about to fall into the sea. And that is it. Rich, I'm going to come to you first. Did you enjoy this episode?
I did. I did kind of, in parts, enjoy this episode. I would say that I don't think that's an armoured car. I think if you Google armoured car, lots of military vehicles with big guns on them come up. That's a cash truck, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a secure van.
For some reason, my phone, the personal assistant on my phone, has just Googled armoured cars. So like, that's what I'm saying that. It's like, here's a summary from Wikipedia about armoured cars. And none of them look like that truck that happens to fall into the sea. So I do have slight umbrage with the title. I was expecting like a full-on like military armoured car, not a cash truck, not some bloke who turns up a cash converter to empty the safe, bringing you change.
I bought it.
But in terms of the episode, yeah, it was all right. It was quite light relief. I like a Jill episode. We've ascertained that already. This is quite a Jill-heavy episode, so that works for me because
yeah,
she can actually act.
Yeah. And play volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sets her apart from the rest of the cast, I would say.
Yeah. And so can Trevor. Kate, did you enjoy this episode?
I did. I particularly liked the Jill storyline. I think it was one for the girls. Empowerment of women. Yeah, really like this one. The armoured car bit, take it or leave it. That was just comedy value, really.
comedy value?
Yeah. Well, okay, the whole rescue bit at the end. I know we're skipping ahead, but yeah, that's the bit for the reason that they're in this... That it's Baywatch, isn't it? Because you've got the sea rescue. But other than that, it could just be happening anywhere, couldn't it?
I was fully involved.
I thought we were going to have three storylines again. I thought there was going to be an Eddie and Shawnee kind of not getting on so well storyline. And then it veered off into, you know, into the armoured car. Like, literally into the armoured car.
Literally into the armoured car. I was going to ask you about that. Is this a two storyline or a two and a halfer? Because at one point I thought it was going to go into three like you, and then they did go into the armoured car and go on holiday and stuff. Well, not didn't go on holiday.
Yeah.
You know. I again, for me, it was a well-written episode.
Well-written within the context of this series of Baywatch.
I think if you took the Jill storyline, that's the well-written one. The armoured car written one...
Yeah, I mean, the armoured car one's pretty rubbish, isn't it? Really. I mean... Let's put a very, very heavy vehicle on a pier that's falling down. It's clever.
And fill it full of cash.
It's the whole thing. The whole reason the armoured car is there in the first place is to raise money to save the crumbling pier. Don't park it on the crumbling pier. Like, how stupid do you have to be?
And then fill it with 100k.
And also...
And then put a crowd on it.
Who's paying to have their photograph taken with a pile of money?
Hobie. That's who's paying.
Why? We're skipping ahead quite a lot.
I don't know.
Just because it's so ridiculous.
I want it. Maybe it's an American thing. Let's do the armoured car storyline first.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we can enjoy the beach volleyball Jill storyline afterwards. Because I've got some things to say about that. I think I enjoyed more of the armoured car storyline than you enjoyed the... It's a bit of Jill's storyline. So again, Rich, we're at odds.
I think they both had the same amount of storyline. Yeah, I think they both had the same amount of storyline, even though the Jill one was probably had longer screen time, but there were so many montages in it that, you know, that just took up most of the part, really.
Yeah. Okay, let's save that, because I've got some stuff to say about the montages. Okay, Rich, set the scene. Okay. Set the scene on the armoured car and why it's called armoured car and what Shawnee... Oh, just do your thing.
Kind of already have set the scene already. Essentially, someone is trying to raise money to save a pier, the pier at Baywatch, which is crumbling and falling into the sea. And they thought it would be a very good idea to get a big, heavy... I'm not going to call it an armoured car. I'm going to call it like a cash truck. And then people will know what I'm talking about. With $100,000 in it. And then charge people, was it $10 or whatever, to have their photograph taken with $100,000.
And then use
that money to then do up the pier. Oh, yeah, and girls in bikinis as well, because there's not a million of those on the beach. No, that's fine, yeah. And if this concept wasn't flawed enough, essentially the vehicle is very heavy. They parked it on the edge of a pier. They start the process of, like, hinting that it's going to fall into the sea in about 10 seconds into the episode, because the pier is creaking like crazy and there's a guy in a hard hat underneath the pier trying to like inspect it. And so you're under no illusions that this thing is ending up in the sea. You're just kind of thinking, at what point is this going to happen and what carnage is this going to cause? Linked to this story are Eddie and Shawnee having a row because Shawnee wants to go away with Eddie for the weekend and Eddie wants to go away with his friends for the weekend, which, you know, bog standard row that literally no one has.
Oh no, you have when you're
18. That's it, really.
I think that comes up, that could come up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when you're 18, I guess. Yeah, but you know, I guess now I'm like 40, I don't really have a social life to speak of.
Can we talk about how they were doing the safety checks when the event was already started and got away?
Yeah.
And his process of doing the safety check, which was just tap the wood lightly
with a crowbar. No, yeah. He had a safety helmet, no harness. He was working on his own. There was no safety vest. Nothing. He was literally just walking around on bits of wood that, when you got the close up, they were creaking. The bits of wood were creaking.
Yeah. And lo and behold, he tapped a bit of wood with his crowbar and it fell off. I'm not sure if it's the actual bit of wood that was anywhere near him that fell off, because we didn't really see that. It was a cutaway to a piece of wood falling and then him, the guy, falling in the sea.
Yeah. I didn't understand what happened.
Is the wood supposed to have hit him?
Was it the fall?
I don't know.
That piece of wood looked as though somebody had just gone down to Wix or B&Q and got a 4x2, whatever it is, and placed it gently on the side of the pier and then just knocked it off. And that was it.
Yeah, essentially that's what happened.
And then do a belly flop in the water.
But don't pay too much attention to the bit of the wood that falls off, because they use exactly that piece of film
yes,
later
they
on.
Do. Yeah, they use that exact same shot a little bit later on.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't notice that.
They could obviously, they clearly couldn't afford two bits of wood.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. The budget on this thing is not a lot.
I've got a feeling that real life health and safety probably didn't let them do that shot more than once.
Well, they spent all the budget dropping the bloody thing in the water ridiculous. Later on. That's where all the budget went. So let's not be surprised.
This is true.
So
the guy ends up, the guy who's safety inspecting the pier ends up in intensive care somehow from a fall of about 3 feet into some water. Mm. Not sure how that happens. Not sure if the bit of wood hit him or what happened.
Because Mitch jumped in to rescue him.
He fell 3 feet into some water.
They ran along.
Mitch jumped in and rescued him.
Mitch hands his, very carefully hands his, takes his sunglasses off and hands them to Hobie and then kicks his shoes off and jumps in. Got to save the sunglasses. Obviously, they haven't got enough money in the budget to lose the sunglasses.
They're Ray-Bans, probably. I don't understand why they didn't, after the man got injured and possibly from a falling plank of wood from under the pier that he wasn't expecting because the pier is dangerous, how they let the event carry on for a couple more days.
I don't know what 1990s health and safety legislation was like in the America, but obviously it was not as stringent.
Even Gardner could feel it in his bones, couldn't he, that it was going to be dodgy and it was going to end up in some kind of disaster.
He wasn't happy.
And also, it didn't help that they set the armoured car, because I'm going to call it an armoured car, like at an angle so it would roll into the water. I don't know if you noticed the shots. It was like levelled up so it would roll.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you just pointed it out. I thought it looked a bit odd, but it hadn't twigged that it was going to be that obvious. Everything else in Baywatch, the way it's set up, is that it's obvious that this is going to happen. I just completely missed that because it just looked ridiculous, especially when they were selling come and have your photo taken with all of this cash, which when you looked at it, you had the door of the back of the van open and the two women standing either side of the door, and then you could kind of see a couple of bags of something that might look like money and a bit of safe behind you. So the whole come and have your photo taken with loads of cash, it's just a bit shit, really, wasn't it?
100 grand doesn't look a lot, does it?
No.
It's like a couple of comedy bags that you would have in, like, sketches.
With dollar signs on them.
Yeah, with dollar signs on them.
Acme money bags, like Scrooge McDuck. Would have been better if they'd filled it with, like, coins, wouldn't it, really?
Well, yes, but... It was, I did enjoy the storyline. But yeah, it took a while to get going, this one.
I'm not sure if it was dodgy. I think he meant well, but, you know, just is.
Are you
a bit
talking
stupid.
About the contractor guy or the peer, the guy who's trying to raise the money?
The guy's trying to raise the money.
Yeah, he wasn't very clever, but he really loved that pier.
He did. As Garner was saying about the pier creaking, he's like, I've worked on this pier 20 years. It's the creaks are reassuring. I was like...
I've been here for 50 years and it hasn't given way on me yet. Well, if I've been here for 50 years in the open ocean, pretty sure something's going to have gone wrong between now and then. So,
yeah, it's going to last law forever. Of averages, mate.
It sounded to me like they wanted to shut it for a reason because it was unsafe. So why in God's they decided to hold an event on it? I just don't understand. I don't understand. But I did like how it built to the impending doom. I quite enjoyed that. I was like, oh, it's going. It's going.
You like the special effects, do you? The shot of the dodgy table leg on a piece of wood, a piece of balsa wood that's going to crack at any moment. I didn't know what they were actually showing us. It was just a table leg on a piece of wood. I think it was meant to platform the truck was on, but it took a long time to get there.
It was crap, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was crap. They used the same shots over and over again because, like, they obviously didn't want to spend any budget. Just the same shots of cracking, creaking wood. Oh, it was... I know you like this one, Dave, but it was a bit painful. It was a bit like the first 5 minutes of Casualty, but spread out over 20 minutes.
Yes, it did. It did feel awfully like Casualty. But I thought it was quite well paced. Did you not think that was?
No, it was awfully paced. No. Really?
It was quite well paced. Over the long lead up.
Nothing. Oh, it's in the water.
Nothing, you're wrong. Nothing, there was creaks. There was people talking about it, how unsafe it was. There was more creaks.
But if it was so
but
unsafe,
not doing
why
anything about it.
I'm not going to move on this one. I still think they did a good job.
What should have happened is they should have shut the pier down after the guy hurt himself.
Then
the guy would have had a big... The guy who was trying to raise money for the pier had a big protest. And somehow that big protest ended up him falling into the ocean in the armoured car or something. That would have been a better storyline.
It shouldn't even got that far. It should have been, look, this guy got injured on this pier. We need the money to fix it. And then wouldn't they have got the money? Or they would have just knocked it down. They might have just knocked it down.
They might have just knocked it down. But either way, nobody dies.
There might have been another storyline of him trying to keep it quiet. Like, no, this is a safe pier.
Well, I was really cheesed off because right at the beginning, when the construction guy and Garner were talking about it, and this construction guy goes, I'd rather it goes down because of my wrecking ball than some stunt with an armoured car. I was thinking, oh, we're going to have a stunt with the armoured car. It's going to drive along the pier or something and it's going to fall off or crash or something. No, it just falls through.
It just fell through.
Yeah, I thought someone was going to try and rob it. Stunt. Like, that would have been better.
Yeah, because when they were locking it at the end of the day, they were talking about, oh, you know, there's ruffins around here. They'll grab your ice cream straight out of your hand or something like that.
That's where they did the hard work of telling you that it's really hard to unlock. That was important plot device.
I've got some serious questions about this, about how hard that thing is to unlock.
And also, it was meant to be watertight.
Watertight.
Wasn't bloody airtight, was it? They kept going on about it being airtight. Sodding well wasn't airtight.
It's got a leak, mate.
So Eddie and Shawnee come into this story, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Eddie and Shawnee, essentially, they're set up in this story because they're having an argument because Eddie wants to go to Catalina with his friends. We don't know who his friends are. He's never had any friends before. So where they've come from, we've got no idea. And Shawnee wants to spend the weekend with him. So Shawnee is upset. Eddie's grumpy. Eddie, for some reason, tries to make up with this by taking Shawnee to the fair. But listening to a basketball game on his headphones whilst he's doing it, which is the most Eddie thing to do in the world because it's stupid. And obviously Shawnee is upset at this point. But the fair is also right next to the pier. So they're stood by the armoured car having a row whilst a small child is having their photograph taken in the armoured car. And lo and behold, this is the point where the armoured car does full Italian job and kind of ends up with the front hanging over the edge of the pier and the child in there somewhere. How this happened, I have no idea, because the child was sat on the edge of the armoured car. It then moved backwards. She could have just jumped off, but somehow she ended up inside the armoured car.
It's because the armoured car was crazy. Was raised up at the back. It was on the angle.
Yeah.
So the front, even though the stage that it was on fell through the pier, so that was obviously the back wheels. The bit of the front went through the pier first, so it tipped up even more. So she was flung back into the armoured car truck thing.
Yeah,
the security.
Obviously, the lightest person they've had there in there all day would make it go through the wood.
Of course. So Shawnee and Eddie then try and save the girl, which would have been easy for any normal person of normal height, but because Eddie is so short, he couldn't possibly reach inside and grab this little girl's hand.
Yeah, that's true. He is really short.
He's really short and somehow ended up there. I was literally waiting for the old, the Italian job. It's kind of, hold on, lads, I've got an idea. But no, it didn't happen.
Have they not seen the Italian job? Do they not want to put, don't put any more weight down that end? No, not only does Eddie go in, but Shawnee then goes in.
But they make a human ladder. Guys, it's beautiful. They save a little girl.
You say it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
If they had somebody 3 inches taller, they wouldn't have needed a human ladder because they could have just grabbed the girl and it would have been fine.
Yeah, yes.
I tell you what was beautiful. All of the people around the pier rushing up to hold on to the truck to stop it from falling in. Did you see that?
I did, but then I also noticed some of the shots when they disappeared.
But did anybody notice the guy with the pink shorts?
No.
Was he on the side?
No, he wasn't inside. They were holding on, everybody was holding on to the back of the vehicle to try and keep it down whilst the girl was clambering over Shawnee and Eddie. And then you have this shot that was like quite a few seconds long of this guy in day glow pink swim shorts. So they're quite, you know, they cover everything, but it's just, he's bending down. He's like really bracing this vehicle. And it's just a big shot of his ass. They're in massive pink shorts, straining ass.
It was the early 90s. There you have to.
And he turns up again later in another shot. But yeah,
brilliant.
It's just like, what brilliant. That's, you know, that's gratuitous off shots. Don't need this. They're obviously not doing anything to hold this truck up.
Yeah.
But yeah. No.
And so what happens is when the little girl gets out of the truck then falls with Eddie and Shawnee inside.
Mm-hmm.
As it's falling, the door somehow shuts and locks itself.
Yeah, of course, because it's not on the truck.
Before they hit the water, let's bear this in mind.
It's gravity.
Before they hit the water.
It's gravity.
Some sort of magic gravity. Somehow the door shuts itself and locks itself before they hit the water. Somebody mentions how this thing is airtight. It's not airtight because there is water getting in. And it sinks to the bottom of the sea where Eddie and Shawnee are now trapped in the back of it. And I think Eddie is trapped under the safe. Is he pinned by the safe?
He's pinned by the safe, yeah. But if that had fallen back, if that massive safe had fallen back on you, you'd be more than just, oh, I've got a few cracked ribs.
Yeah. Also, it was on wheels, so, you know, just a quick push and that would have been off him.
No,
so...
it's on its side. It was on its side. Definitely.
I'd also like to point out that on the interior shot of this truck, the door was bolted from the inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shawnee
yeah.
really didn't want him to go to that weekend.
Shawnee really didn't want Eddie going on holiday. No time locks, none of that bollocks. That door's bolted from the inside.
Did you not buy into the tension at this point? If I didn't know that Eddie would survive, because I've seen him in doing other shots and later in the series and series two, I would actually thought this could be the end of him. I was
secretly hoping it was.
Whoa. Next big thing I'm going to say, I think this is the best Eddie storyline. The best he's been.
And that says a lot, really, doesn't it?
He doesn't do anything.
His best storyline.
Sits behind a box going, oh, I can't move it. Oh.
He was the hero, Kate. Hero.
He wasn't, was he?
He jumped straight into that armored truck. Save that little girl.
But if he'd let someone else jump into the armoured truck, everyone would have been fine.
There was no one else there, though.
Yeah, no, no,
anyone.
No. Right.
Literally anyone.
Wind back to the bit where Eddie goes in, because the construction guys who turn up say, wait, let's secure the vehicle first before anybody goes in. And Eddie goes, no, there's no time. And jumps
that
in.
Is also,
so, but
that,
actually,
that is also true.
There would have been time if they hadn't done an Italian job and put more weight into the vehicle. There would have been time to just secure the van, pull the girl out, everybody's happy. Eddie gets to go to Catalina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All this episode proves is that Eddie is thick and annoying. And that's it. And that is it. You know, we would have all been better off if it just stayed in the back of the van.
But no. They get, well, there is quite... How do they get rescued, Rich?
In the most Baywatch way possible.
And I'm going to say it. This is the first episode when I think the Baywatch team actually had to get involved without, you know, this is actually their job. Not like in every episode.
Yeah,
probably the police's job. This is actually, oh no, this is underwater. This is on your beach. Get involved.
But you knew it was serious because you didn't recognise any of the people doing the rescuing. So they would have been actual stuntmen and lifeguards, because none of the people doing the actual rescue were cast members.
I was really confused for a while what the lifeguards on the beach were doing.
Because Mitch and Craig get an idea. They go, let's get some inflatable, let's float it up, because there's no time to get the crane over. The guys from the armored car company say, oh, it's only got 2 hours. So there's no time to get the crane over to lift it out. So they've got to get an inflatable boat and float it up. And then they run off to go and get the inflatable boat. And then the next thing you see is a load of cars careering up to the edge of the sea. All these lifeguards jump out and run into the sea with just their floats.
Yeah.
What? How's that going to help? What's going to happen? Oh, and a big excavator, a big digger.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. So there's Craig and Mitch in their swimsuits, like scuba chuckle brothers. not like, having a clue.
They showed somehow everything. They were very tight and very pink, like fluorescent.
Very
pink.
And somehow they've attached these inflatable boats to the armored car, which are somehow magic inflatable boats that are so buoyant that they've got this 5-ton armoured car up to the surface with just two boats.
Science, God knows. Rich. Science.
God knows how this has happened.
Science or MacGyvering it.
I've got a little bit more science for you. They get a massive chain. So there's this the big JCB digger that they're going to use to pull the armoured car back onto the sand. They get a massive chain around the digger, and then they tie it to a tiny little cord, which when they've got this massive chunky chain, and then they tie it to a tiny little cord, which they tie to the armoured car. I mean, that's like my washing line. Like, that's not going to pull in an armoured car.
Well, it clearly doesn't, because the truck gets stuck.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's not enough traction on the dry sand and a massive great big wheel.
So everyone uses their superhuman strength.
Yeah.
To drag
it. Absolutely. So 50 lifeguards can pull it in, but a JCB can't.
Yes.
Amazing.
We should also say at this point, the armoured car is filling with water. And again, this doesn't help when Eddie's really short. That's what I thought again when he was drowning. I was like, if only he was a bit taller.
3 inches taller, no problem.
Yeah. No problem. Also, underwater in the van, Shawnee declares her love for him. That's the first time in the series.
She does.
That is a big moment. I wrote it down.
And then Eddie just sort of looks at her and pats her on the shoulder and then cut to another scene. Like,
he didn't even say, I know.
Yeah. Or I love you too. He just looks a bit petrified.
He probably thought, let me drown.
Yeah. It's like, okay, right. Thanks very much. And he doesn't even say it at the end of the episode either. But, we've missed something. Forgive me, I can't remember his name. Who's the guy who does all of Mitch's stunts and all the actual proper lifeguarding but doesn't actually have a line?
Newman. Michael Newman. Yeah.
He gets the important bit of delivering the inflatable boat to Mitch and Craig. And at the point where he's handing over the boat, Mitch goes, thanks, and Newbie just nods. Like, oh, you could have gone like, good luck, Mitch.
Yeah.
Or, I hope this works.
Or he could have taken it down himself.
Yeah, he just nods.
I feel like they're wasting a lot of time up there deciding what to do. Because Craig gets there, he's the first time you see Craig in this episode, when he literally turns up on the pier and jumps in.
Very casual, like, all right, how long have they been down there? Okay, yeah, right, I'll just get out of my car.
Professional, Kate, oh geez. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't rush into it. He did his deep breath.
No, he certainly didn't rush.
Before he went, and then he went down.
What was that all about? It's like 45 breaths before he took a dive.
That's what you're diving deep.
You have to get all the oxygen in your blood, in your body, so that you can dive.
Yeah, you're filling your lungs.
You can dive down further.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think they really showed how deep the boat was. Not the boat. The armoured car. How deep that was.
It's because it was just at the bottom of a swimming pool. That's all it was. It wasn't actually any.
There wasn't many shots of them swimming around it, was there? They couldn't really do that.
There weren't any.
Thinking about it.
No. Craig, the first time, Craig swam down and looked through the window and tapped on the window, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the volleyball earlier. You didn't really see them playing volleyball. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So, they get this armoured car out onto the beach, and suddenly the armoured car guys turn up, who apparently are 2 hours away, but made it in like 4 minutes.
Running about in brown boilers.
Did anyone else notice
comedy Ghostbusters?
They were like Ghostbusters. They had Ghostbuster suits on. But did anyone notice that no water came out of that armored car when they got it up on the beach?
Oh, it did.
That thing had filled with water. Why wasn't it pouring out?
No, it did because they all came.
Yeah, I'm with Kate on this one.
Only when they opened the door. But if that water got in, that would have to get out again.
I've got like a cow being born. Lots of water and bodies.
Yeah, the water came out when they opened the door. But for the water to get in there in the first place, that water would be coming out before they opened the door, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Only a little bit.
But they've been underwater for quite a long time. Yes. It filled up quite a long way.
It looked very dry. It looked very dry.
No,
so, yeah.
They got saved.
Can we also talk about Craig's weird CPR technique? What was that all about? Why was he pushing on Eddie's belly?
It was an obstruction or something. It's kind of like a Heimlich manoeuvre, but lying down.
Ha, Rich.
Oh, right.
Sorry, I thought it was weird as well.
Windpipe obstruction or something, and that's why he went he just sort of like prodded him really hard in the abdomen.
Yeah, it's like
and then he spews up and he's sick everywhere. And then Shawnee goes in for a massive snog. It's like,
again, yeah, Eddie didn't really want to kiss.
No, I've just woken up from being drowned. Get off me, woman. You know, you're crowding me. You're already cramping my style, my mate, by having a huff about me going on a boys' weekend and not let me listen to the game. And yeah. now you're all in and telling me you love me. Now you're all in my face. But I'll let you kiss me. And then he says something really weird about forgetting. Oh yeah, let's forget about the Catalina weekend. Ha ha ha. So yeah, he still doesn't say I love you too, Shawnee.
No. Oh yeah, good point. He doesn't. Maybe next week.
So, yeah, that was your favourite bit of this episode, was it, Dave?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I generally thought it was quite tense. I sat here this morning and thought, you know what, this is not a bad hour of TV.
I don't know, it's all right, yeah.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. All joking aside, it was much better than last week's. And I know you still quite liked last week, Dave, but at least something happened.
That is true. This one's got 6 points on IMDb. So it's got higher than other. This is one of the higher of the series, I think.
What's the rate? What's the scale? Out of 10?
Out of 10.
It's out of
6.
10.
So this is one of the highest in the series, and it's only a 6. No wonder it got higher.
Okay. Actually, I take that back. A lot of them have got higher.
Yeah.
But the one we did last week was the lowest, which I actually thought was
okay. Yeah, the one we did last week was 5.2.
The reason why I'm enjoying them is that because I actually think, unlike the last episode we did together, these kind of make sense. They have a beginning, a middle, and end. They're not overcomplicated. They haven't got stupid little bits going on. It does what it says on the tin.
It's a lot more straightforward than the last episode I joined you for.
Yeah, it is, definitely. It is.
Very upfront. Armoured car. It's called Armoured Car. Armoured Car is going to fall off the pier. It's going to be a rescue.
It's what you want from an episode of Baywatch, isn't it? At least they get into the water this week and, you know, and do a bit of saving. No one dies this week. I'm just saying. This one works for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than last week's, where none of that stuff happened.
Fine. But I did enjoy the other storyline. Segway.
Yes.
Which was enjoyable in other ways, because it was slightly different. And, again, it was a Jill storyline, which...
Yes.
Honestly, if we get one every, six episodes, I think it seems to be?
Yeah, I think so, roughly. Yeah.
Roughly around there, isn't it? That she actually has a decent thing. And it turns out that Jill, in her former life, before she was a lifeguard, was a pro volleyball player.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Go, Jill.
She's Superwoman.
Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah. It doesn't mention. And I thought she would still be going out with a rich guy from the drowning pool. He doesn't seem to be on the scene anymore. So she's back on the market. She looks good in blue.
Well, you know, she's not on duty because she's in blue. That's the rule for Jill, isn't it?
Yep.
So if you wear blue swimsuit, not on duty. Red swimsuit, on duty. That's the rules.
We should probably set the scene on this one. So basically, there is I would say a pro volleyball tournament coming up.
It's a pro-am volleyball tournament. So one pro and one amateur in the team. So, yeah, it's a mix.
Oh my God, Rich. Yeah.
You,
you,
were,
so
you were paying attention. Well done.
I was paying attention. It was in the first 3 minutes.
So somehow, Trevor must know that Jill used to be a pro volleyball player. And the winnings is 10 grand. And it's Trevor's idea that they play together to win this, to win money. And to get her to play, he informs her that Jill's ex-lover and volleyball partner is also entering the competition. Is that it?
Does Trevor tell her that? I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Trevor's a snake. He's got to find a way of getting Jill to play.
And if not for the money, what about trashing your old partner?
Boom! Yeah. And what we find out quite quickly is that not only is it Jill's ex-boyfriend, but he also cheated on her.
Boom.
Which is just unacceptable.
And how do we find out about that? Because she turns up at Mitch's house at 4 o'clock in the morning, having run there in a sweatshirt. I love this scene. I absolutely love this scene.
Why is Mitch even up?
Well, he's not. what? That's what he said. She's banging on the door and he comes down the stairs and he's all bleary eyed and she's like, oh, yeah, right, Kaylee, let's go for a run. Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, what? I've just woken up. What's going on? And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going crazy again. You're going crazy again. I'm going to go and get the coffee on. And she's like, oh, no, no.
This must be a regular occurrence.
Well, yeah, she's obviously gone nuts about this guy before because he's like, oh, yeah, right, Chris is back on the scene. The ex-boyfriend person. And we find out that she's really angry because he cheated on her. And he goes, and Mitch goes, have you got the guts to face him? And she goes, I've been practicing. Do you want to see?
Oh, yeah.
And then she slaps Mitch in the face. And then runs off.
That's a fun scene.
I loved it.
Again.
I love it.
What was that all about?
Just goes, right, I'm going to turn the coffee off and go back to bed then. Fine.
Yeah.
So it's just that. That's just normal Jill. There's obviously a side that we don't see of Jill.
We don't see enough of Jill in the first place.
No,
yeah,
we don't.
You're right.
I think this has to be my favourite scene of the whole episode.
So I'm thinking at this point we've not met the ex yet. So I'm thinking that for her to be so hung up on him, he's got to be like, you know, Zac Efron. He's going to be a pretty handsome guy. And then he turns up and he's literally a creep with a mullet. Like, he's not. I've written this guy's a creep 3 times in my notes. He's so creepy, it made my skin crawl. Like, he's horrible. He's just horrible the whole way through.
Early 90s America. You know, those big brown eyes, slightly long hair.
The mullet.
Yeah, the mullet.
The mullet.
That's height of fashion.
And you knew he was a bad guy because he had a big fluffy jumper on. Always the sign of a bad guy in Baywatch. Anyone wearing knitwear, untrustworthy.
And he was a dick. Because even though he
cheated
on her,
dick.
He makes her, he was a dick. Makes her feel so bad and like, the reason I cheated on you is because you weren't very good at volleyball and you couldn't do it properly or whatever.
You couldn't hack it,
yeah,
I think.
Really? You choked. Like, she's like, but I stopped doing it because you cheated on me.
He was really nasty at that point.
Yep.
He was really putting her down. Chauvinistic pig kind of thing. Like, oh, look how good men are. All women.
All the better to chart Jill's rise back from this low position where he's the bully, he's telling her she's no good, and then she rises from that threat, from that...
With the use of some brilliant montages and music and...
so
and the same
many
shots of the same ball
montages.
Yeah. Right, so anyway, he makes Jill angry, this Chris guy, and Jill agrees...
He made me angry and I've never even met him before.
He was
I wanted to beat him at volleyball.
Trevor agreed. Oh, they both agreed. So Trevor's plan worked to have her as a partner. And then they went training. I didn't understand the training scene because so many people were watching and it was at night. And all the other Baywatch lifeguards were there. And they were just standing there like, are we in shot? Are we in shot? It looked like they weren't meant to be in the background.
This must have been the same day that they filmed the rescue of the armoured car and they just had all the trucks and everybody in costume, whatever. It's like, let's just have you in the background. Let's earn your money. You don't get paid anymore. Yeah. You just get more screen time. That must be what it is.
Must be.
Because other than that, like they'd Trevor and Jill had obviously been training for a long time because it was dark. So... why else would you have a load of people just standing around watching them for hours going, no, you're doing it wrong. Again.
Yeah. At this point, we've had how much montage? Like, you know,
I don't, like, at this point, a little bit. But Rich, you can reveal your facts now.
Oh, yeah. A cracking fact on this one. Only, I'd say it's a cracking fact. This episode is 46 minutes long. And including the titles... and all the credits at the end. That's in your 46 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, if you take off the titles and if you add the titles and the credits and all the montages, that comes to 23 minutes. So 50% of this whole episode is montage or credits.
And if it's not credits or montage, it's slow-mo as well. So that's probably another 5 minutes to just slow down action.
And the same shots repeated again and again.
So many balls just hitting the beach. Could someone explain to me the rules of volleyball quickly? Does anyone know the rules?
Don't let the ball touch the floor. You're allowed 3 touches on each side. I remember that from the Olympics in 2012.
I went and watched some beach volleyball on the Olympics in 2012.
I did too.
It was great.
You should be able to tell us the rules then, Dave.
I was very high up. I don't know what was going on. It was a lot of fun. And it looks kind of like that. And I could see why the crowd were really getting into it, because I kind of was when I was.
You're not allowed to touch the net. I remember that. You're not allowed to touch the net.
But how many times can you hit it between you and your partner?
3 touches each side.
Only 3 touches on each side.
Yeah.
There you go. So you can save it, set up the rebound, and then smash it, I guess.
Spike it.
Yeah.
I think that's the technique. Spike it.
See, I've just learnt volleyball.
And now you know about as much about volleyball as Trevor.
But he apparently is really good. Yes, we should probably... That montage, when I thought this whole episode, when I read the original blurb, and I was like, oh, they're going to enter a volleyball tournament. I thought, oh, good, that's going to spread it over certain rounds. Oh, no, they cover from start to the final in 2 minutes 30 in a montage. I timed it as well, Rich. It's ridiculous. You don't even see the people they're beating. You don't even see barely any volleyball, to be honest. It's all just them doing like...
There isn't any volleyball.
It's Top Gun in high fives.
You see a lot of shots of volleyballs flying through the air where it's just the ball against the blue sky. Loads of shots of that. A lot of the same shot repeated of a ball hitting the sand.
Yeah, I noticed that one.
And yeah, and I mean... Top Gun it is not.
Yeah, the partner of the bad guy, of the ex-boyfriend, Chris, is another woman because it's mixed doubles. And in this montage, there's quite a long shot of her panning up from the waist, and she's obviously covered in sun cream and then dived into the sand because she's gently toweling herself off, you're rubbing the sand off. That's not a sensual thing. If you're covered in that much sand and you're just wearing a bikini... You know, that's painful. But she's like, oh, I'm just telling myself off.
Yeah, that didn't look comfy.
Sandy's not sexy, guys.
No.
Not at all. And she had no lines either, did she? She didn't speak once.
Nameless female. Let's see if she has a name on IMDb.
No, she doesn't.
Probably she doesn't, not.
You checked, did you?
Well, when I watched it, the character, the actor... comes up on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't appear. Chris appears, but she doesn't appear. We missed when Jill and Chris went out for dinner before.
We did, because there's a brilliant line. So Jill and Chris go out for dinner where he tries to convince her to rejoin him.
We should mention he did try that.
And he does say something along the lines of, oh, don't you miss it on the pro volleyball circuit? And I was like, The pro volleyball circuit, is that a thing? Is there, like, there's a pro volleyball circuit, like, and there's all these pro volleyballers going around hustling other volleyballers up and down beaches around the country. Ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway,
maybe.
But then we find out that the reason Chris is back sniffing around Jill is because Chris's partner has pulled out of the tournament, so he wants Jill to come and play with him. And she's like,
yeah.
And up until that point, she's all like, oh, no, yeah, I missed you. Yeah, it was all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, actually, you're a real sleazebag. And they have a bit of a...
Creepy douche.
A Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth kind of moment where he's saying, oh, you're really bad and you pull
it. Yeah, that's the bit I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and then she slaps him. Yes! So all those times when you're thinking about the next time I meet my ex, I'm going to do this. I'm going to slap them, or I'm going to say this really great put down or whatever it is. And she actually does it. It's like, yes, well done, Jill. So that was the bit I wanted to
know. I personally think that the slapping is a bit out of character for Jill. I genuinely think she would have just punched him in the face. Like properly, proper, full on punched him. Like a slap's just not enough.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
Anyway.
I've actually written down after all this, I've just actually written down, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting.
This was fun.
This is why I like this storyline better than the Armoured Car, because this is exciting. It's got emotion and history and
the,
I don't
care. And the greatest violence, comeback but... ever shown on TV.
Yes, absolutely.
It's up there with Liverpool AC Milan, Rich. That is. They were 13-1 down.
They were. I've written down, Trevor and Jill are getting spanked.
And she
13-1.
Was injured.
That was all over.
Yeah, we see her struggling with her shoulder in the training session, don't we? It's like, it'll be all right. She'll be okay. Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But will she? And then towards the end, so they're in the final. They're going to be in the final against Chris and his partner. And Trevor goes, you're not going to be able to do it with that shoulder. We're going to have to pull out. And Jill goes, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
What?
You're right.
Yeah, I'll go and pull out now. What?
Her heart wasn't in it.
What? Anyway, so she goes. That she does goes, mean she goes to deregister or pull out, and then he co- then Chris comes along and goes, "Oh, you know, I knew you couldn't cope at the top." She's like, "Oh, screw you! I'm going to play anyway."
Yeah.
And
then, if and he then just kept his mouth shut,
absolutely spanked 13-1 down or something, isn't it?
13-1 down. Yeah. God.
But and the music. Then the we music get was some pumping. Victory montage music, don't we? The music starts ramping up. It's yeah. like Eye of the Tiger, but you know, royalty freaks that can't afford that.
It was very, yeah. I thought it was great. It was very 80s, the whole volleyball.
Yeah, thing. Which is weird because it was December 90 that this was released. December 90? January 90.
Yes.
Some, 1990 anyway.
That's still practically yeah. the 80s.
They filmed it in the 80s then.
They thought,
it was released
they
in American
80s. They wrote it in the 1980s. So we're down to the dramatic last point sequence. So they're on, there's a, they're so Chris and his yellow bikini clad partner are on 13 points. Jill and Trevor are on 14 points. They've got to get 15 to win. This is it, guys.
I was in it. Don't worry. I was there.
And ends with Trevor spiking it down into the other side of the net, and both Chris and his nameless partner diving for the ball, and they end up with a whole yep. face full of sand. Have it. And then Jill
which
is
quite a nice
over the
shot,
moon.
I thought, actually.
So happy.
She's so happy, she kisses Trevor
yeah.
on the lips.
I know.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to be pretty happy to kiss Trevor, and not being funny. We all know where he's
been. I always
been.
Thought these two would have a bit of a romance at some point, and this could be...
Well, you never know. Maybe this is the start of it.
We might.
I don't know.
I really hope not.
I'm enjoying how Eddie's more of the team now, you know. Not Eddie, Trevor.
Eddie? Jesus, Trevor?
I'm doing it again. Yeah. How Trevor is more part of the team, and he's more around the hub of Baywatch than he was. I'm enjoying all that. It was a fun episode. Because, yeah, they win. And that's where the freeze frame is, isn't it? Like Jill just going, fucking yes.
Yeah.
In your face, Chris.
Yeah. She gives
that's
him a
it.
Long
that's
withering
the freeze
look.
Frame
and I think
is
if it
the,
had been
winning
going
the montage
out before
competition.
The... yeah, if it had been going out before the watershed, she would have flipped in the bird.
Yeah. Or at least gone kicks him in the face or something.
We love Jill.
Yeah, we do love Jill. I think she's... More Jill episodes, the better. I think possibly there could be a Jill episode next week. I'm not going to get you excited. I'll talk about it in a minute.
Maybe I'll watch that one without even... without recording
that
it.
That would be good.
Ev thinks all positive at Baywatch. It was a good episode. So now we've talked it back. These are both two fun episode storylines. You with me that this was a good one now?
Yeah. I liked it, to begin with. Mm. Anyway, I really liked the Jill bit.
I thought that whole... Yeah, the volleyball sequence was a lot of fun. It's not... brilliantly edited, I have to say. Some of the editing in the, like Rich was saying, the montages.
Oh no, it's terribly edited. Like the montages are all terribly done. Like it doesn't cut in time with the music. They repeat so many shots, I get why you would repeat a couple just to save a bit of money, but my God, almost every other shot they're repeating. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the editing's horrible. But yeah, it went really quickly. It felt like a really quick episode, which meant that it was quite entertaining. It wasn't like Crest in the Shallows a little while ago, which felt like it was 3 hours long. You know, it felt like quite a quick episode, this one. I think maybe because you could kind of zone out during the montage.
There was a lot of montages. There wasn't much plot going on, was there, really? If you think about it, there was a woman and a man stuck in an armoured car, and there was two people playing volleyball for money. That was pretty much it. There wasn't any...
And I mean, let's be real, that Eddie and Shorty weren't even stuck in the armoured car until the last, like, 5 minutes of that storyline.
It felt a lot earlier.
Build up.
That's the montages, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of filler. And that worked for me this episode.
Yeah, Dave likes the filler.
Yes, it's my favourite episode. So let's talk about next week's episode. This one's called Home Court. Mitch's charismatic but roguish old buddy, John Decourt, joins Baywatch. However, he's actually there to pull off a shady deal. Shawnee and Jill start selling sandwiches on the beach to put a shady sandwich vendor out of business. One of those storylines sounds ridiculous.
Hang on. Say that again.
Do you want the first bit or the second bit?
The second bit.
No, Eddie and Shawnee start selling sandwiches.
Not even Eddie and Shawnee. Shawnee and Jill start selling sandwiches.
Shawnee and Jill?
Start selling sandwiches on the beach to put a shady sandwich vendor out of business.
Oh my God, they're really scraping the barrel now.
Because we all know the sandwich game is cutthroat. What, are these sandwiches out of date?
That's how Subway started.
Oh dear, Jill's gone down in my estimations now.
But again, that's probably a job. But
let's be real, these bios are ridiculous.
Yes.
Which might mean that none of these things actually happen.
Yes. The description for this episode, the armored car episode, was quite accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't say in the bio. It says that Shawnee and Eddie try and rescue a girl trapped in an armored car. They didn't say
not
they
in an armored car.
Armored
it
car.
Says a crashed armored car. There was no crashed armored car. It was a.
Oh. All right. The bio was reasonably accurate for this.
For Baywatch and IMDb, we nearly hit a home run on this one. I mean, maybe
not quite.
On this one, on the episode we just watched, it is one word. But this next one is just bizarre.
I mean, because also that's how you deal with a shady sandwich vendor, isn't it? Is you set up in competition against them. You don't say, sorry, stop selling your shitty sandwiches on the beach.
Get Garner involved.
You could get lost.
Garner involved, or environmental health, put a placard up in front of them going, don't buy these dodgy sandwiches.
Far too simple. Let's start our own business.
I can't wait to see why it's shady. I can't wait. So that's next week. So please listen to what we find out about the shady sandwich vendor. And there's a new character, maybe.
I can't wait.
And we really are into the final stretch, I would say, of this season, where I feel like they've run out of storylines and now they're going to start giving some really bizarre stuff. Because
there's some barrel scraping going on.
Yeah. As much as it can.
So what it sounds like is happening with this episode is they're rehashing the episode where a shady character from Eddie's past life comes back and causes problems, but they're just redoing it for Mitch.
Yes.
And they're setting up some shady sandwich dude.
Maybe David Hasselhoff finally realised that he hasn't actually got very much to do in this series. He was in this episode for all of, 10 seconds? He jumped off the cliff and then got in a wetsuit.
He didn't do a lot, did he?
Maybe he's gone, I need more screen time.
Well, he wasn't a producer at this point, was he?
Actually have an episode about me.
I don't think he was a producer at this point, so he was just a cast member.
He was top billing, though, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but he was the star, wasn't he, though?
Are we sure not Craig Parkinson, whatever his name is? Not Craig Parkinson.
No, no. In the credits, it's David Hasselhoff is the first one. So, I'm rooting for Mitch next week, then. I hope he gets lots of stuff to do.
We'll wait and see. 45 minutes of just Mitch doing nothing against Fire and me. And as long as no Hobie again.
Oh, dear.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, no Hobie again. That'd be good. Yeah. Oh, dear me.
So, Rich, go on. You do
that was fun.
Do your bit.
Do my bit. Oh, well, thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to catch us on social media, you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. Oh God, I got all three right this time. That's amazing. That's the first time in weeks that I've actually got all three of our social media channels right. We are the Baywatched Pod. Come and join us, especially if you like a Michael Newman GIF. Come and join us on Facebook, and I will keep posting Michael Newman GIFs as soon as I find good ones. If you want to be entertained, follow us on Twitter, because that kind of has more regular updates. And also, if you've got a question for us, if you want to be on the podcast, if there's anything you want to know, we've actually got an email address now.
I know.
We're all like professional on that. It's the Baywatched Pod.
Baywatched Pod.
No, it's not. Sorry.
You were close.
Sorry. Baywatched Pod. And it's at hotmail.com.
Yeah.
co.uk.
No,
come on, Dave, you do this.
It's Baywatched Pod at hotmail.com. So, if you've got any comments. Even if you think we're doing a good job, not a bad job. I don't want to hear about it if we're doing a bad job. But if you like what we're doing, if you've got any questions, I also kind of want to see Baywatch memorabilia, because I've seen a bit flying around on Twitterverse, and some of the stuff we get tagged in is quite funny. So I want to see, sticker albums. I want to see posters. I don't know. Bags, jackets.
Lunchboxes.
Baywatch beach towels. Oh. You know, whatever. Whatever you've got. We want to see that
and
stuff.
And the more vintage, the better. I want to see if it exists. Assigned autographs. If you've got pictures with these people, I want to see them. I don't want to see past series one. So if you've got a picture with Pamela Anderson, I'm not interested in that yet. I want to see pictures with series one actors and actresses, because I don't want spoilers.
Excellent. Apart from Hobie. Not Hobie. Unless you can find him now. Unless you find 40-year-old Hobie, and then we want pictures.
Yeah. The first Hobie that everyone didn't know existed, because I didn't when I first started this. I was expecting Jeremy Jackson, and he's not here. But yeah, carry on listening. If you could tell your friends, your families, your accountants to listen to us, that would be really fun. We've had a really good week.
Specifically accountants, Dave?
Well, you know.
Do you need some financial advice?
Teachers, I don't care. Librarians, people in the shop, babysitters.
Tell you what, just get a placard with the social media handles and the email address, and walk up and down your local street.
Perfect.
Spread the word.
Perfect. Done. There you go.
Pay it forward. If you tell one person and then they tell another person, then it's brilliant. But that's it done. That's our sales pitch over and out. So again, thank you, Kate, for coming on again.
You're welcome. Thank you ever so much for having me back. It's been great fun.
You're welcome. We'll try and squeeze you on one more time for this year. I've got a funny one that might be good for you.
You say this year, but this series.
This series.
We'll do more.
Oh God, yeah. Thank you, Rich, again.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Brilliant.
See you next week. Stay happy. Stay healthy. Bye.